Hello out there. Welcome to your next mission video podcast. Back in 2003, Wounded Warrior Project was started to comfort the first wounded warriors coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan. Since that time, they've grown into the leading nonprofit organization dedicated to the well-being for veterans and their families. Today, we'll speak with their chief executive officer about all the things they're doing to support that mission. So please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans and service members and families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USAA, whose mission is taking care of the military community and their families always. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families. And if you've ever listened to the show, I say it every week, we love them too. Today, we're talking about the challenges our active duty service members and their families face, and what one organization is doing to bring hope, peace, and healing to those who are struggling. And I'm excited to welcome my friend, Lieutenant General retired Walter E. Piatt, Chief Executive Officer of the Wounded Warrior Project. Sir, welcome to the show.
Well, SMA, thanks for having me. It's a real honor. I mean, you're a legend in the Army. I served in the Army, so it's an honor to be here with you. Thanks for all this organization does and what your podcast is able to do for awareness for our veterans to get the help they need.
Well, I appreciate you, sir. And you're right. I'm an old guy now. I'm really getting older every day. So I'm an old legacy guy. Back in the old times, I guess. Hey, we got a lot to talk about. Before we get started, would you tell the audience just, a little bit about yourself? Briefly tell a little audience just a little snapshot of you yourself.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you. Yeah, I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I enlisted in the Army when I was 17, right out of high school. And I was lucky and fortunate enough to serve for 42 years in the United States Army. And it was an honor in my life to be a soldier because I got to see up close firsthand what heavy lifting the Army does and our entire military does for our country and the young men and women that join it and all the very hard things they're asked to do and all the things they do every single day. From seeing that now to transition out of the Army after 42 years to come here to Wounded Warrior Project, we're now I get to help. I get to help rebuild the lives of warriors whose lives have been impacted by military service and war. It's an honor of my life, again, to be here in this organization, because when I came here out of the Army, for me, this next mission, it felt like I came home to family.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I got to tell you something real quick. You said 42. Usually, I had 36 in the service. Normally, I start out my show saying 36. Most people don't have that many, but you got 42. So when they say like 22 or 23, I always call them quitters. So I guess I'm a quitter today, which makes it bad. Hey, sir, when we began, I spoke about the mission of Wounded Warrior Project. Sir, would you elaborate that on how you're making this organization and the impact that you're having?
Yeah, well, you said it up front. We started in 2003. It really was a former wounded warrior himself that saw casualties being evacuated from combat zones. And he knew what it was like to be in a hospital bed and to be away, separated from your buddies, your mission, and to wake up with an embarrassing hospital gown on and to be all alone. So he just stuffed backpacks filled with items that he knew that warrior would need in their hospital stay. And he delivered backpacks on his own, stuffed them in his basement, ran over to Walter Reed, delivered them to the warriors coming in from combat zones. But he also made a promise. He made a promise and a promise for this organization that we would be there for you no matter what. And for 21 years, we've been there no matter what. And this organization grew to meet the needs of our combat wounded warriors and our other wounded and ill warriors as well. And so that's really the genesis of why we do what we do. We made a promise to be there no matter what. We're doing it 21 years into this, and we're going to be there and keep that promise for the future no matter what.
Yeah, it's really funny. Sometimes just the little things mean a lot. You know, a backpack probably doesn't seem like much, but it grows into a car, a truck, or whatever. You know, I'm talking about, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger in time because you're dedicated to making the lives better of your wounded warriors and the families. You said during your prep call that coming home from war shouldn't be harder than going to war. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Sadly, I mean, coming home from war shouldn't be harder than going, but it is. It is. We think when we have warriors returning from deployments or combat deployments that they're home. No, they're back. But coming home is a completely different journey because of the things that you did in the course of your military service, either in combat or other military deployments, you probably touched or saw or witnessed, you know, what is the worst of humanity. War, worst of humanity. You think about the intentional killing of human beings by other human beings. And when you take young men and women of our nation, a great value of the nation of the United States, and they see the worst of humanity, it sticks with them. And often it's hard to come back and transition from the things that you saw or maybe the things that you had to do. And you start to identify yourself as just that. And you become alone in your own home. You become afraid of the very society that you helped defend. So coming back is not coming home. We made our promise and we're committed to bring every warrior home, mind, body, and soul, because we know just being there, looking like it's normal, you're anything but. You need help. You're afraid to ask for it, or you won't ask for it because you're too proud. But when you do the hard things our nation's asked you to do, we need to be there to help you transition back into society so you can become a productive member in society and not seen as a veteran that's a threat or a burden to society, but someone who defended this great nation now comes home and gets to enjoy the freedom that he or she fought so hard for.
Yeah, you know, all the time he was talking, I was thinking about myself. I guess I'm probably selfish here a little bit, but when you talk about the things that warriors go through, I just always look back at myself. When I look back at myself coming out of Vietnam, this a lot of years ago, and I was there in 67 and 68, and I said a lot of bad stuff. And things now as I get older, I see sometimes. But the other thing that I went through was, probably at the time I was just a young guy. Geez, I think I was only, I went to Vietnam in 18, so I'm probably 19 or 20 years old. But I had anger issues for about 2 or 3 years or 4 years. I'm not sure how I worked myself out of it. And there was nobody there to help me. I had to help myself. I'm so lucky that I had some people around me that were good NCOs and officers that, you know, maybe seeing the potential in me a little bit. But when I did mess up, they sort of correct me. But I really struggled for a few years. I just, as you're talking about this stuff, it really bothers me because I think there's, you know, we've talked about this before. There's so many people incarcerated. There's so many people that are homeless. And then there's also a lot of people that have taken their life by suicide. And that's the same kind of things that that I think I was going through. But luckily, and I really don't know why, I guess, but luckily I started talking about how I felt. I started telling people what was going on. And I think the difference between me and maybe some other people is they don't talk about it. They hold it in. And that's why Wounded Warrior Project is so important, because it allows people to talk about those issues around a group of people that understand those issues. I'm probably getting long-winded here a little bit, but hopefully it makes sense to you.
Oh, it absolutely does. You just need that help to transition. And in your service in Vietnam, I mean, our nation, you know, sent you to hell on earth, and then we treated you like hell when you came back. You know, we weren't helping. And our nation knows that now. That's not the right way to thank a veteran. You may agree or disagree on the war, but you can't take it out on the young men and women, you know, forced and asked to fight it. I mean, the alternative is far different. So we need to be there to help bring them home and know that these strong people that were able to do these heroic things, you know, need help. Because it's to do some of those things, it's going to stick to you. And many times a young warrior is forced to face, you know, accept the end of the life they thought they were going to have because of something happened to them, whether they're physically injured or they were mentally wounded. They experience something and are forced to accept what the life they thought they were going to have, and they have to embrace a life they didn't think was possible. And But that transition is possible, to find a new path in life of hope and renewed purpose. And that's what we do, help rebuild that life and present that new path. And when a warrior gets help with that, they make it. Not too many warriors do it on your own like you did, but you sound like you had the help of friends. But if left by themselves, too often that path can become very dark, and too often suicide can be the final outcome.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. I was really lucky, really, really fortunate. Hey, sir, this is a great conversation, because we're talking about helping our veterans and their families. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the work you're doing in the active duty service member community. So please stay right there. We'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And if you're enjoying this discussion, and I know that you are, because we're talking about the lives of our veterans. We're talking about things that people, quite frankly, don't want to talk about. We're talking about helping them, pointing them in the right direction, getting them to stand up on their own two feet. It's important for us to remember that you're not alone. We got to stick together. Please, like us, click on that subscribe button below, and be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Lieutenant General Retired Walter Piatt, Chief Executive Officer of the Wounded Warrior Project. Before we get back to our discussion, I want to let you know about a way to support the work we're doing on behalf of our veterans and families here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle, you're planning on getting rid of, or some property you don't want or have any plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.org/donate and click on that vehicle donation button or that home donation button to support our work. We really appreciate your support. Sir, I have always said that there should be something to, the educational program within the services that addresses some of the things that you're going to go through when you go to war and that you may experience, especially with multiple deployments. Are you working you're working with some active duty service communities to try to address that specific issue there?
Oh, we are, but we want to do so much more, because if we can help those while still in uniform, the transition will be much better, whether they stay in until retirement or get out after a term of service. It's so important we do that. And because what we have seen, many veterans who transition without access to some type of veteran organization or care, they normally a period of risk is about 5 to 9 years, and then they start feeling the impacts of something that happened to them, and then they come for help, and it may be too late, or it's a very complicated path towards recovery. When you help folks out on active duty, they learn to recognize signs of trauma and stress caused by trauma, and they get the help and refer the warriors and soldiers to the help they need. It started in Alaska, though, for us. Alaska had a spike of suicide rates. They were looking for some options, and we were able to come on installations and provide one of our programs called Project Odyssey to active duty service members. And it's really outdoor adventure-based training. It was like a day in the infantry, really, and I did one last summer, and we spent a week off grid in the mountains of New Hampshire, kayaking, rock climbing, doing those hard, adventurous things, and then camping at night, talking about the pressures and stress of combat are service related. So you're around people the whole time. We had a licensed therapist there with us as well. It's a great program. And in this case, the Army liked it, but it was the chaplain corps of the Army that got us invited. So they've got us invited to other installations, and where we're invited in and where we're able to show that what we do, and it's all free for the service members, that they see, hey, this can help. This can help with our mental resiliency that's so important in the Army. And it started to grow to other installations, Fort Bragg, Fort Carson, Colorado, with Special Forces Group there. But we want to do more, not just with Army. We want to do all services. We want to do it where they can best support it, or we can help provide the location for them. And when we're willing, and we're also training Army chaplains and other Army leadership on how to execute those programs themselves if they want to do that. But we do think helping folks in uniform really eases the burden as they transition and once they come out of service. So that's so important to do more and more in our view with active duty. And we think that will be, that will make for a better transition and a more stable a veteran once they depart military service.
I want to add to that just a little bit. One is that most people go to war and most people fight and die in war are 18 to 24, I think the number, maybe 18 to 25 or something like that. And I've always thought, and I could be wrong, is that we should be talking about the effects of war way before you go to war. I guess that's some of the things you're doing. But we should put that in our non-commissioned officer education system, in our officer education system. Just sort of talk about, hey, I'm not saying you're going to go through this, but here's some things that you may go through if you have to go to war. And here's some things that you may see if you go to war. Not to be morbid about that stuff, but just to sort of give you an idea of what if something's happening to me, I know, I guess more, a little bit more about what I should do, maybe who I should talk to about those kind of things. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not.
It makes absolute sense. And talk about it early enough so people know that, war is not just what we do in training where we learn to master our military occupational skill. There's so much more to it. It's an intentional killing of human life and all the hazards and disasters that you're going to be witness to. And it really is something that has to be talked about. You may have deployed to Bosnia and saw the effects of a mass grave, years ago from genocide. We're going to see some very, very bad things in the course of your military service. And it's going to be hard to deal with, especially depending when you come from the United States, you come from great values. We grew up this way. Our armies and our military is very strong, but we get sent back. We get sent to very bad places, and often we make a very good difference there. But it does stick to the individual. And by talking about it early on, and knowing that this will impact you, if it didn't, something's probably wrong with you.
Yeah.
And if you just talk about it that way openly, it's part of your therapy. History of warfare, when you didn't fight 24 hours, you could talk about things at the campfire, you could get things out and the horror and what that trauma did of that day's fighting or service or activity, you could at least express it. Now you're constantly under threat. It's difficult to have those conversations. Sometimes at the rate that we deploy our military, you're coming right out of country. And next thing you know, you're back at your home, in a welcome home parade, and nobody's even told you how to deal with this yet. You go from having your life being threatened day to day to coming back. And in my case, with 25th Infantry Division, someone put a lay on you, you're smelling beautiful Hawaii. You're like, okay, how do I ease back into this? And you just have to first really realize it's not natural to do the things that we're asked to do in combat or war or military service. You need to talk through that. And we need to be part of our training and military education process and part of our transition process.
Yeah. And you can't block it out. You can put it back in your brain. You say, I don't see it. And when you talk about it, I'm not ashamed to say it, but when I talk about some things I talk about, sometimes I'll cry. I get choked up, or I'll say something, and I got to very quickly change the word that I'm talking about because I don't necessarily see it, but it just affects me, And the other thing I tell you, coming back out of Vietnam so many years ago, is that you could set me off just in a moment's notice, just by something you said. I mean, you just, and I could see where people go to jail or be homeless because they just don't fit in. But you may do something and not realize you're doing it until it's too late, which is probably a scary thing to say. You could harm somebody or harm yourself just by, you know, I'm past that part of my life. I'm glad. But when you first come out, there's no telling what you do. That's really sort of it's a scary thought. Along those same lines, though, we talked about a couple of the 18 programs Wounded Warrior Project is undertaking to serve the veteran community. Would you tell us a little bit about a couple of those?
Yeah, they're really, and what all our programs are free. And one of our best programs and kind of initial handshake with a warrior is how we help with their VA disability claim. I mean, that's a tough process. It's like you're going to write a thesis for your PhD. It's not easy. And most people just give up on it. Or they get out and say, okay, I'll do it later, and they never get to it. And then just the difficulty, the administrative burden of doing that is difficult. It doesn't get done. And so everything that was tied to their service isn't registered with the VA, and they're not getting the benefits that they deserve. That's one of the things we do. And by doing it, we show them connection. We show them value and purpose. So we connect to a young Jack Tilley coming out of the Army, and we say, you know, he realized, oh, these people actually care about me. Because they do, and they walk you through it. They're experts with it. And then we have programs for financial management and financial planning, because you may be angry and you can't do the normal things that people do, and help you with Warriors to Work program that we have, helps you not just find a job, but gives you the skills to keep the job, to be able to reintegrate back in society and find your purpose, and then find out how to do those kind of things. But those are some of our simple kind of handshake kind of programs. And then when you feel connected, you start to realize if I do have other issues, we have a wide range of brain and mental health programs that really help you come back from the impact. So PTSD helps with we have research and studying traumatic brain injury. We have a program called our Warrior Care Network. That's just a wonderful group of four universities around our great country that share all their research on how the different treatment methods for post-traumatic stress disorder. And we're finding multiple methods are working. And it can be in person, it could be remote, it could be 1 week, it could be 2 week, but we're finding all these different techniques that actually work and deliver the care the warrior needs. And we're offering that up to people on active duty as well. But now we're seeing, it's been 10 years that program has been going, and we're seeing that it's possible to do some bold moves for the future, like cure PTSD and veteran suicide, but we have to scale it to the size of the need. We're not able to meet the right numbers due to the pressure on our own country's medical enterprise and the lack of mental health providers. It's just a huge demand. We got to find ways that we can make that available without having, you know, a big medical enterprise to support it. That's what we're really working on. And, you know, other programs we have are just fun and fascinating, like the Project Odyssey that I talked to you about, the soldier ride. We had it started with a young guy, you know, working in a bar in Long Island, New York, saying, hey, I can ride my bicycle across the United States and raise money. Well, now that turned into a very therapeutic program for us. We don't ride across the United States, but we take warriors who are coming back from some type of injury or illness or wound, and they're really kind of probably on the couch, playing video games, probably self-medicating. And this is a first step. Get them out on a 3-day, like I'll use New York City one we do in July. We start downtown near Times Square. We ride over the Brooklyn Bridge and end in Coney Island, about 23 miles. And for the warriors that come, they're nervous. There's high anxiety. It's tough. It's not just about pedaling something. It's about, you know, being outside with real people. And it's also about riding a bike over bumps where your body is sore and painful in many places. It's not easy. But we do it. And first day, every mile they go, you see more and more smiles and they connect. And then you see the people of New York City and in Coney Island and in Babylon and then in the Hamptons come out and just show their great appreciation for what these warriors have done. These warriors get to see what a grateful nation looks like, and they get to see the peace that they fought so hard to preserve. It's a great program. It's very therapeutic. It's called Soldier Ride. And yes, we do ride bicycles, but it's not about riding bicycles. It's about showing a warrior their way home.
Yeah, I got to tell you something real quick. If you got me on a bike, you got to make sure you have an extra big seat, because I'm worried about those. I'm worried about those small seats. I rode a couple of those bikes. I can probably make it about 2 blocks. I have to get off and start pushing.
We actually have recumbent ones, so you're sitting down. We have big ones like hybrid ones. We have actually a tandem recumbent. I was actually to do a soldier ride Miami Key West, and I had a warrior that was blind in the back, and he was the funniest young man. And so, but it was such an honor for me to ride with him 3 days to describe the atmosphere, to describe the people and the appreciation. And every now and then he would call out to somebody that was holding up a sign and he'd say, "Hey, you spelled that word wrong." And he was just a funny guy. So we have all different ranges of bikes to accommodate whatever the ailment or disability might be on the warrior, because we want them moving. We even have some that have a micro electric assist and some that are full electric assist, because we want that warrior to be able to keep moving, because movement is powerful medicine. And every path to truly healing starts with movement. It's not about medication and all that. The doctors and nurses, we found they save your life, right? They're the best in the world, especially in the military. They're going to save your life in the most horrific conditions ever, but they can't give you your life back. That's what our programs are designed to do. To show you, you still have a long life to live, and we're going to allow you to live it to its fullest. And when we get soldiers, or not soldiers, warriors that participate in Soldier Ride, we often then get them, we often will give them a bike later on so they can keep doing it. And then we're grateful because the National Football League, one of our big partners, pays for the, so we can upgrade our bikes almost every couple of years. So we can keep the latest adaptation that they might need and get really good bicycle. But it's not Tour de France, SMA. We're riding bicycle. It's not a demanding pace, but it's really about the healing of being together and the therapy it brings that warrior to show that how much his nation or her nation appreciates them.
Well, two things I can tell you. One is that I can see your enthusiasm about taking care of your warriors. So I appreciate that. God bless you for what you're doing. The second thing is, when you have those bike rides, do you have a pace car? I could probably do that.
We actually do. We actually have the ride. We're so fortunate at New York City, too, because all the first responders come out. Every police officer loves what they're doing to protect this little peloton, this group of bike riders. The whole community wants to support. We do have a pace car up front with a rope hanging out of the back, and you're not allowed to go up front of the rope. But what I've often been seen going up to the pace car and say, "Hey, you can pick it up a little bit, because we got a bit coming up. We want to get up there." But we do have a logistical support. So we have to have an ambulance handy. We do have people riding and riding in vehicles, not always riding the bikes, but it's a lot of fun. I said, man, we'd love to have you to one of ours. We do a lot of major cities. It'd be a fun event.
Well, if you ever come to Tampa, let me know.
All right.
All right. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like you to tell our audience about some of the success stories. I love success stories. Have you seen with Wounded Warrior Project? And I love your enthusiasm. I love your motivation, because I know that you're making a difference. So, sir, I want to keep talking. Stay right there. I'll be right back. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Lieutenant General Retired Walter Piott, Chief Executive Officer for the Wounded Warrior Project. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. But so please, as I've said many times, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Guess what? I'll reach back out to you. That may be a scary thought. Sir, would you tell us some of the success stories that you witnessed at the Wounded Warrior Project? I'm sure you got a lot of them here, but just a few.
There are a lot, and a lot of warriors will say, that Wounded Warrior Project saved my life, and that never, it just touches you deeply. But one warrior associated with one of the programs we have is called our Independence Program for some of our most seriously wounded warriors. And this one warrior, his Shane, his father died when he was very young. He was the only son. And when 9/11 came, he was a football player, big guy, wanted to be a football coach someday. But he went to Iraq, and his convoy was ambushed, and his vehicle was totally destroyed, and he was left injured and bleeding out in his vehicle, lost both his legs. And they couldn't evacuate him. He couldn't get to the point of injury because of the enemy fire around there. So he went into a coma and probably should have died, should have bled out. But like every American military unit, they got him. They got him out of there, got him evacuated. When he came to in Walter Reed, he couldn't talk. He didn't know who his mother was, who was by his side. He lost, you know, his memory of all these events. But, you know, numerous surgeries later, we got him into his house. And that's what our Independence Program is, to get you in your home, provide you the care you need in your home with your caregiver. And throughout that, he learned to do the basic skills of living again, learn to speak, you know, learn to write, learn to communicate, learn to get into a vehicle, learn how to operate and move around the house. But at some point, too, he also learned to dream again and get hope again. And he found his soulmate. He got married. He has two boys. A couple of weeks ago, I was able to go fishing with him and his one of his sons. And Shane loves fishing. I mean, it's been one of his therapy sessions for him. But his son actually outdid him that day. Every time he cast in, we were snagging a bluegill every time we cast in. And just to sit there with that young man, that young boy fishing and looking at his dad with such, you know, great admiration and love, that's success. That warrior would have probably died in there if it wasn't for his teammates that got him out. And then he would have probably been institutionalized that had not been for the, you know, our idea, our independent program of getting him the care he needed so he could get his life back, and which he did. It's a great success story. It's one I recently ran into him again. Another one we have right here in Jacksonville, a tough warrior named Sean, served in the 82nd Airborne, injured badly in Afghanistan, was evacuated, and he probably had aspirations of playing in the National Football League. I mean, he's a big, tough guy. And then, you know, now you're a young man laying in a hospital bed, you got to make a decision to take your leg off. That's not where you thought you were going to be in life, but he did. But as Sean would tell you, losing the leg was the easy part. The hard part was dealing with, you know, the mental trauma, brain injury from the blast, dealing with, you know, am I worth it anymore? How can I be a success in my life? But for the love of his wife and his children, he started his own business. He's a business owner now, a pretty successful one. His son's a senior at a local high school playing some really good football, hoping that he'll get an offer to a good college. But you see him turn that corner, find that new path in life of hope and purpose, and not just learn to live with the injury, but to thrive past it and find that higher purpose in life. Another warrior, I'll end with it, Brian, you know, local guy, big, burly guy, lost a leg in a bad attack in Iraq when we knew it in 06, 07, when it was a tough time over there. Came back and, you know, this guy literally larger than life, loses his leg, and but then gets married, has children, a family, then went on to get his degree in occupational therapy. So now he's a doctor and he's serving the local community, helping people with disabilities. He's still a fun guy, gets out, you know, wants to ride his motorcycle and his wife doesn't want him to do that, but he's pushing the envelope. He's still, you know, challenging things physically, but also giving back. And he reached that higher purpose by pursuing it despite the setbacks or having to accept the life he thought he was going to have. He then embraced one he didn't think was possible, but embraced it with the help of Wounded Warrior Project. He is just a wonderful success story. That's a few of them. We have hundreds and hundreds of them. Because every single one of them is different. You know, I won't mention his name, but he told me straight up, you know, my wife would not have a husband and my children would not have a father if it wasn't for Wounded Warrior Project. I dealt through some hard things. And for him, the hardest part of surviving combat was living. When you think about that, it shouldn't be that way. It should be how much life you have to live, how much love you have to give to your family. But he could not live with the pain and the guilt of losing, you know, his platoon leader in Iraq and his friends on that day. And why did he live and they did? And we taught him about how important he is. He's a wonderfully talented individual. And he is a great father and a great husband, but every day he looks at them, he thanks Wounded Warrior Project for letting him see that his life was definitely worth living.
Yeah. You know, I tell people all the time, I don't look in the rearview mirror. I look forward. And what's happened's happened. I'm just going to deal with it and just keep pushing. And I don't think anybody, no, I can't remember who I was talking to. I was talking to an amputee one time, and I said, I asked him, do you ever think, why me? And he said, no. He said, it happened. I'm going to deal with it, and I'm going to be okay. So I think it all boils down to believing in life, believing in God, you know, believing in your family, believing in life is, you know, God's got you there to do something more, not just, so don't quit. The other thing, though, is don't look back. Keep looking straight forward and just keep that positive attitude. Now, it's easy to say because I don't have to deal with that, but I just think all of us deal with that in different ways. You know, everybody struggles in life, so it's just tough. First of all, I love the stories that I'm so proud of what your organization, Wounded Warrior Project, is doing to change the lives of so many people. With so many organizations working to help with the well-being of our veterans and families, what do you think the future holds? I mean, what's in the future for, you know, our Wounded Warrior, our future of our veterans right there?
I think it looks very good. I think we are a community of care, so we're not companies that are competing against one another. We truly, in our hearts, want to help veterans who have helped keep this country free. For us, we think we have a million more lives to save. We think that number is at large. When you look at how many people have served since 9/11, some people are suffering. And you're right. You don't want to look back, but you have to have something to look forward to. And I think that's what they need to help with. So for us, it's save a million lives. We think it's possible to cure PTSD and get people the treatment they need. We think it's possible to advocate more for psychedelic assisted therapy because warriors should not have to leave our country to get care they need. This is the best medical care country in the world. We need to be providing what works, and we have the research that will show us what works, and then we should get it to our veterans. I believe any goal that short of ending veteran suicide falls way too short. I think we have to understand there are better options, and we can deal with this early on to give people the tools they need to live a life worth living. I mean, just accept that and move forward. And if we focus too much only on prevention, we may be dealing with the challenge too late in the time. We need to get ahead and say we should end this. We need to end veteran homelessness. A veteran who fought hard for their country shouldn't be laying on the street, sadly, maybe in their own urine. I mean, this is so difficult. Their mental challenges shouldn't fall into such despair that living on the street is the only thing they can do. They're people of great value. We should be able to end this. But it's not giving them a home. It's giving them the tools to be able to live in a home and to be able to reintegrate back into society. It's that just simply understanding that coming back is not coming home. And we have to bring every warrior home, mind, body, and soul. Because if you look at even at our greatest generation, World War II, it came home. Great victory parades, ticker tape parades, people hugging, kissing perfectly strangers. They didn't know who they were. And we helped them get transition quickly in high numbers, help them with a house, help them with a job, help them with education. But then dad never talked about the war for 60 years. You know, that's not coming home. What they did, maybe in a 2-year, 4-year service in combat, is going to affect them for the rest of their life unless we give them the tools to understand what they did is not who they are. It's what they had to do because they wore the uniform of this country. And they did it because they're just great individuals, and we should be celebrating the rest of their life, not treating it. And that's why I think for the future, we have I think for the first time in our country, we have an understanding this isn't just a welcome back parade ceremony. This is bring them home, and home takes years. And we've got to understand we will see injuries manifest themselves that we haven't seen yet, especially from traumatic brain injury. Think about all the explosions we had from 2001, in Iraq, Afghanistan, all those places where we didn't understand the impacts of concussions. We started to really understand it in 2010, 2012. The Army and Marine Corps, everybody led that, saying, hey, this is an actual combat wound. And started awarding Purple Hearts and started to track that this person was in a really tough injury. We're seeing that impact now just in military training, just the explosion and the weapons that they handle and the vehicles they do it from. the overpressure that is causing and can cause serious brain injury. We've got to know that we've got to take care of our warriors. You shouldn't be suffer a traumatic brain injury just because you're training for combat. We've got to be able to do that smarter. So the future is going to hold more research, understand things better, and be able to treat them before they become a life-ending ailment. I think it's not only possible, it is clearly within our grasp to do so, because I know that America cares about our military men and women who keep us free.
Yeah. You know, I was reading something last night. I was thinking about asking how many veterans are in this country. I think the number I got was 17 or 18 million, which turned out to be about 6.1%, I think, of veterans. And then they went into the fact that not a lot of people know veterans, even in this country. I think we need to do more about telling our story to the big country here. And not a lot of people know the kind of sacrifices that goes on. And you guys do that. So I think marketing and telling people, keep putting the word out there so people understand those kind of sacrifices that are going on. And I think it's important. I don't know if we ever can do enough about telling our story. I think we need to continue to tell a story just like you guys are doing. And first of all, sir, this is, I got to say personally, thank you, not just from me, really from everybody that's here, but this has been a great discussion because clearly you care and you want to make a difference. And the Wounded Warrior Project wants to make a difference in the lives of, again, of the lives of the of families of our veterans and stuff. So I just appreciate you just taking the absolute time to come on the show. But unfortunately, we got to close it out. Any final thoughts, anything you want to leave the audience with that you either missed or want to go back over again?
I just want to tell, one, you're right, we communicate to a grateful nation. But for all warriors out there, whether you're active duty or you're a veteran, come, you know, sign up, you know, just come to Wounded Warrior Project. If you serve, we want you to come in. We want to connect you and we want to make sure we understand what your needs are and what you can do. So don't isolate and don't feel alone. You're a part of this nation. This nation is grateful for your service. Wounded Warrior Project is grateful for your service. We want to help bring you home, mind, body, and soul. Whether you feel like you're impacted by your military service or not, I would encourage you, register with Wounded Warrior Project. We're free. We're not looking for a membership fee. We just want to save 1 million lives, and we want to help because our veterans know where their other veterans are. They know where their friends are, and they know who's suffering. And we want to find them. We want to go where the warrior is. We want to go where the veteran is and help bring them home, help get them the care that they need because they've done so much for our country. And as you say, our country is grateful, but they often don't know. And so, but they're willing to help. We are 100% donor funded. And we find people in America want to give money and hard-earned money because they want to thank those people who do everything to keep this nation free and so beautiful and allow them to be successful in their own lives as Americans. They understand why they're free and they want to give back. And what we want to do is encourage everybody. If you serve after 9, we're a post 9/11 organization, but if you serve, we want you to sign up and register for us and we'll walk through you and see what your particular needs are. And we'll help you stay connected to the veteran community and we'll help you help others that may be in need because it's not just the person on top that we're helping. We also need that person on the bottom to help find other wounded warriors, whether back home suffering or they were injured in a deployment that you can physically see. But the impacts of our mental health and brain injuries from these 2 decade plus of war are huge. And we have many people that are suffering, don't know. We have many people who are suffering in isolation and don't want to ask for help. And I'm just encourage everyone, the help is here. It's there and it's available. All you have to do is register and you'll be among family when you do.
There you go. If somebody wants to reach out to or make contact with the Wounded Warrior Project, what's the best way to do that?
Best way is just go to our website, woundedwarriorproject.org. And you'll come on and you'll be able to register right away. You'll be able to click on. You can talk to a live person when you do that. We have a resource center that when they call, they refer you out. If we have a warrior, say I call and I need some specific request, we don't let you get off the phone until we answer your question or get you the help you need. And if the help isn't within Wounded Warrior Project, we'll get you over to another foundation or another place that provides that help. And we won't stop until we know you're in and enrolled because the medical system can be kind of difficult to navigate. And so if you come on our website, you'll be able to get on and get registered. You also take family support members can register. So your spouse, your parent, your children, all of those people are impacted by your military service. we have programs for them as well. And just getting that awareness out, and they understand what we do and what others in the veteran support organizations do, is very helpful for our veterans to thrive in life post-military service.
Yeah, I like the fact you follow up, too. You just don't hand them off. You hand them off and make sure they're taken care of, and then go back and follow up on them. That's good. Hey, sir, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Great information. Thank you so much for what you're doing, and, of course, the Wounded Warrior Project is doing for our veterans and the family community. God bless you, and keep up the good work. And again, let us know if we can ever help you. We certainly want to try to help you as much as we can.
You've been a big help today, and I'll leave with this. Just, we will keep the promise. We will. Thank you for having me.
All right. God bless you, sir. Have a good one. Thanks again to Lieutenant General Retired Walter E. Piatt, the Chief Executive Officer of Wounded Warrior Project, for being with us. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Marine of the Army. You've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast, and thank you for joining us. Log on our website at yournextmission.org. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military and Offline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job in real time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast releases. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Lieutenant General Piatt for joining us there. Just a wonderful, wonderful officer, wonderful person, wonderful friend, and just cares so much about our warriors and families. And I just tell you, I just want to say, the Wounded Warriors Project cares about you. They want to make a difference in your lives. You know, the general said it a bunch of times during the show, you're not alone. You're not by yourself. We're here to help you. We want to do whatever you want us to do to get you in the right direction. And unfortunately, there's a lot of us out there that struggle. I talked to you about myself. I struggled. And there's a lot of us struggle. Sometimes you're afraid to step forward and say, hey, look, you know, I got a chink in my armor. Something's wrong. I can't figure it out. Just remember, you're not by yourself. It doesn't matter if you're a private or a general. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody struggles. But I just want to say one more thing. You're not alone. Please, please tell your story and reach out to somebody, because I guarantee they'll help you. Thanks for watching. And thanks to New Mind Studios and, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.